The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
He needed just one more to tie Babe Ruth and two to break the record. And of course, throughout that entire time, he was subjected to death threats, to racism.
He's one of the most important people that ever played the great game of baseball in our country.
And one of the most underrated baseball players of all time. That's right, underrated. He is known as the home run champ. Does anyone know anyone who seriously considered Barry Bonds, the cheater, a home run champ? Get out of here. Bonds was one of the greatest players who ever lived before the juice. But then, you know, at the age of 35, in six weeks, he puts on 30 pounds of lean muscle. His forehead triples in size, and his home run to at bat ratio doubles at the age of 35. Get out of here. Get all the way out of here. It's laughable. And McGuire and Sosa, the three of them can all take a hike. Hank Aaron was clean, 755, and he did it at a time when he hit his 715th home run. Baseball was still the number one sport in America, ahead of football and basketball. And by the way, through his career in the 50s and 60s, baseball was so much bigger than football and basketball. It's embarrassing. Not like the NFL's number one and is baseball or NBA number two. No. It was like the baseball was number 1 through 10, and no one cared about the NFL or NBA compared to baseball. Not close. The economy of baseball is much bigger, much more fan interest. They were much bigger celebrities in the popular imagination, right? What football figure from the 1950s was as big as like Mickey Mantle or Willie Mays? And that's the thing. Hank Aaron played his career in the shadows of Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle, and Mays in particular, because they were both in the National League. Came up 3 years before Hank Aaron. By the way, only 4 years, and Hank Aaron 7 years after Jackie Robinson, was the first black player in the major leagues. Till 1947, the white power structure kept black people out of baseball. Jackie Robinson broke in 1947. 7 years later, well, 4 years later, here comes Willie Mays. And 7 years later, 3 years after Mays, here comes Hank Aaron. But Willie Mays was the guy. It's not unlike when in 1961, Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle were both chasing Babe Ruth's single-season home run record. And people wanted Mantle to break it because he looked like the heir apparent. And when Maris broke it, they almost got mad at him. And I think Hank Aaron, like, people saw Willie Mays. And Willie Mays was one of those guys where they said, that might be the best baseball player of all time. Right? That guy. And Hank Aaron, they just knew was great, but he wasn't a center fielder like Mays. He's a right fielder. He wasn't quite as dynamic a player as Willie Mays. Never hit 50 home runs in a season. Willie Mays was loomed larger in the public consciousness. And all Hank Aaron did was show up every year and hit 45 home runs. So eventually, so he plays in the shadow of Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle, and he wasn't ever considered, like, that's the best player in the game. 1 year he won the MVP. And eventually when he breaks the record, though, you have to understand that the moment, has there ever been? Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record. It was a huge deal. Huge deal. Pete Rose broke Ty Cobb's hit record. Huge deal. But the home run means something different. That is a uniquely American symbol of power and success. I mean, you go to a business meeting. I hit a home run, right? Like, everyone knows what that means. And Babe Ruth was this icon in American sports unlike any other. And Hank Aaron, when he broke that record, there's not been a record before or since in the history of American team sports that comes close to it. So he's known as the home run champ. But he's become underrated almost as a result of that. Because everyone knows he didn't break the home run record because, you know, he hit 60 or 50 home runs. He set a standard of excellence, you know, 40 home runs every year practically for 23 seasons. So it's like, yeah, he's a home run champ, but he did it over time. It was like a compilation. You know, he's a compiler. This is a home run champion. People miss the picture with Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron, if you took away every home run he ever hit, is a first ballot Hall of Famer, over 3,000 hits. Was a great defensive right fielder, a great base runner, an excellent base stealer, a clutch hitter, hit 362 in 74 postseason appearances, including slugging 710. Won gold gloves, won the batting title twice. Lifetime total base leader by, as Ralph Wiley pointed out, 12 miles of bases over number two, Stan Musial. He's actually become underrated, Hank Aaron, just as a player. I have to tell you to check out Marvel Studios' WandaVision, original series now streaming only on Disney+. Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues, joins me now on the Goodyear Hotline. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Hey, Max, man, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on. You know, it's funny because there are so many great Negro League players through the years, and it's impossible to know. Like, is that, like, I would guess that Josh Gibson's probably the greatest catcher of all time, considering Roy Campanella, who was every bit as good as Yogi Berra or Johnny Bench, said everything he could do, Josh Gibson could do better in the Negro Leagues, right? So I'm willing to think that he's, and Oscar Charleston, according to Bill James and some others, is way up there with center fielders, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Ty Cobb. Charleston's with those guys. But in Hank Aaron's case, not by a lot of years, because he breaks in 54 and the color line was only broken in 47. In Hank Aaron's case, we don't have to guess. We know he's the greatest lifetime home run hitter of all time. What can you tell me about Hank Aaron?
And I think your perspective is what I try to get people to understand when they come and visit the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Because if we saw Henry Aaron's numbers 30 years from now, somebody wouldn't believe it. They would have never believed it. And it's the same way with Josh Gibson. And when we tell people that he was so prodigious in his power and that kind of thing, they don't believe it. But here's this kid from Mobile, Alabama, who comes to the Indianapolis Clowns, Max, when he was 18 years old. He's a skinny, cross-handed hitting shortstop.
Yeah, by the way, I want everyone to hear what Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum right now, is saying. Cross-handed. Hank Aaron, think about if you're a right-handed hitter, your right hand is on top of your left hand on the bat. Hank Aaron crisscrossed that, came with his left hand on top of his right hand, actually hit like that.
Yes, and not only was he, you know, and the field, Max, is that you would break your wrist hitting in that manner. Well, Henry Aaron is knocking the cover off the baseball in a highly unorthodox fashion. When he gets to the Clowns, they put the right hand on top, the Indianapolis Clowns. They put the right hand on top, and the rest, as we say, is history. But for me here at the Negro Leagues Museum, I walked to a photograph of him standing at the train station in Mobile, Alabama. He's 18 years old, about to embark on that journey to go join the Indianapolis Clowns. And all he has is a duffel bag. And he told me, he says, Bob, inside this bag, I may have had two changes of clothes, $1.50 in my pocket, and a ham sandwich that my mama had made me, going to go chase that dream. And when he was leaving Mobile, Max, he didn't know if he was leaving to go play with kids his own age or grown men. But as you well know, he was going to go play with grown men. And those grown men of the Indianapolis Clowns took him under their wing, and they nurtured him. And then Henry Aaron was shortly thereafter leave to go join the Boston Braves, who will become the Milwaukee Braves, who, as we all well know, became the Atlanta Braves. And he'll go down in his game as one of his all-time greatest players. But as I heard you kind of roll off that litany of his great accomplishments as a baseball player, because you could never reduce him to just being a home run hitter. The home runs just kind of happened 755 times. It just kind of happened. You know, Henry Aaron
led the league hitting 358 one year. I mean, he won gold gloves. He stole 30 bases in a year. He stole over 240 bases, better to 3-1 success to caught ratio. He, like, what do you, he hit 362 in the playoffs. I mean, this dude.
And he did this, Max. And I tell people all the time, you cannot underestimate what this meant. He did this literally carrying a race of people on his shoulders. You see, all those other players who transitioned from the Negro Leagues into the Major League, they felt that weight. They knew they had to be good.
Well, Bob, I want to ask you about that, actually. I'm curious about this as you're talking about it. Now, I imagine, you know, clubhouse is what they are, human nature what it is. In the Negro Leagues, you mentioned they nurtured him, the Clowns nurtured him, they you know, sent him on his way, and I'm sure in many respects for many of them, his success represented an ability to rise up, to get out of segregation in a sense, because the leagues were segregated, and to make it to the big time, right? And in that sense, African-American athletes particularly then had the kind of responsibility, the weight of an oppressed race on their shoulders. On the other hand, I wonder, human nature what it is, in of the kind of like crabs in a bucket mentality. Were there ever, that you're aware, any older teammates who may have been jealous or kind of cranky about it because they never got the opportunity that Hank Aaron was going to get?
Now, you know, you have professional jealousies in almost every aspect of life. Mm-hmm. But by and large, these players were rooting for Henry Aaron and Willie Mays to succeed.
So it really was like one of us is getting out and making good.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, you know, they knew that they were beyond their prime, that their time had passed, and how important it was for these other players who did get the opportunity to succeed. If anything, they may have lamented the fact that this didn't happen in their prime. And so, while, yeah, there were some who kind of wished, oh, man, why didn't this happen? You know, a guy like a Ray Dandridge, who was 38 years old when he gets to the Minneapolis Millers, which were the New York Giants AAA team, and Maxie's named MVP of the Millers, man, when he was 38 years old.
Right.
But he never had a chance.
By the way, Satchel Paige was, yes, what, 46? And he had an ERA as I think he's mostly out of the bullpen. I don't know if he started, but where was he? Where was Satchel Paige at the age of 46? He had an ERA in the threes at 46 years old.
Yeah, and when he gets to the majors, was Cleveland in 1948.
Cleveland, of course.
42. Yeah, he's believed to be 42 at that time. Yep. If you believe he was born in 1906, which I absolutely do not believe, and he goes 6-1 with a 2.4 ERA at 42 or possibly 52. You know, I mean, it is ridiculous how good these guys were.
Well, always
this air of skepticism.
As we're saying, like, Josh Gibson may have been the greatest catcher of all time. Satchel Paige may have been the greatest pitcher. It's impossible to know. Was Paige better than Sandy Koufax? Was Gibson better than Berra or Johnny Bench or someone like that? But certainly they're on that level. But with Hank Aaron, we do know this guy played 23 seasons where he would have hit third or fourth in any lineup. Where he's a superb defender, base runner, high batting average, 40-plus home run champ who hits the cover off the ball in the playoffs. Like, that's what happened with Hank Aaron. And earlier today, I've had guests on today here and on First Take earlier in the day who were talking about the kind of person, the kind of man Hank Aaron was. And what he meant in the Atlanta area. Can you tell me at all about that?
Yeah, because I'm a Georgia native. I grew up in Crawfordville, Georgia, small rural town east of Atlanta, about 80 miles east of Atlanta. I am a lifelong Atlanta Braves fan. Henry Aaron is my all-time favorite player and my childhood idol. And so anytime, Max, that we were on the playground, and you know how this goes, you're on the playground, you become your favorite ball player. So all the kids knew that I was going to be Henry Aaron. There was no question about it. You know, the kids were all like, hey, Bob always got to be Henry Aaron. That's right. I got to be Henry Aaron. Nobody else could be Henry Aaron. And so I get the chance to meet him for the first time in 1998 at the All-Star Game in Denver. 1999, he makes his first visit to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Now, mind you, Max, we've had American presidents visit this museum, first ladies of these United States, General Colin Powell, plethora of athletes, entertainers, dignitaries, and with no disrespect to any of them. They're not Henry Aaron in the eyes of this kid from Crawfordville, Georgia. But you touched on something. The humility, the humanity that he brought, the grace, the class, the dignity, in which even going through chasing Ruth's record, this was a tumultuous time for this man. His family is in hiding. Mm-hmm. He's got bags and bags of letters that were death threats on his life. And I can tell you this, for a black man in the South at that time, you cannot take these threats idly. He had already seen Martin Luther King assassinated. He's seen John F. Kennedy assassinated.
Well, that's a good point. People are forgetting now. It's not just that this is the old days when racist white people, you know, could largely get away with, until recently, much more than they're able to get away with in recent times. But considering the time, you know, this is not that far removed from a spate of political assassinations.
No. And so this is 1974. 27 years after Jackie Robinson breaks baseball's color barrier, Henry Aaron is enduring the same kind of hate and vitriol that welcomed Jackie Robinson into the major leagues. And yet, somehow or another, he found the wherewithal to stay locked in and focus on the craft at hand and willed himself to get that home run record out of the way. You know, he told
was it meaningful? Wait, was it meaningful to him? Like, I imagine, as I was talking earlier in the show, the home run is uniquely American, and baseball was invented here. And America enjoyed hegemony, at least in the Western Hemisphere, for, you know, a lot of the last century. And home run, you know, if you hit a home run in a presentation and a business meeting, everyone knows what hitting a home run means, let alone, you know, kids in high school fooling around even. Like, home run is a big deal in the consciousness of America, especially in the 20th century. And for a black man to wrestle that record away from a white guy who also symbolized baseball. Babe Ruth is the biggest symbol in the history of baseball. What did that mean to Hank Aaron himself? Like, that makes you that dude. You are the home run champ of all time.
And Max, you know, for me, and we had him here in 1999, 25 years after he breaks the record. And man, it took him that long to exhale and celebrate what many thought to be the most prestigious sports record of all time because it was so painful. And I know you can recall when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa had the epic home run chase and their children are there to greet them at home plate. Henry Aaron's family's in hiding. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and so he didn't get to celebrate that. It was relief, man, that it was over. You know,
and by the way, Hank Aaron didn't have any help. Those guys were inhaling juice. Hank Aaron did it in 180 pounds. He hit those 755 home runs, 715 that passed Ruth. Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, I think on one of those home runs when they were rounding first base, picked up the base and took out their stash and injected them. I mean, those guys were juiced out of their mind. Like, when people say now that Barry Bonds is the home run champ, I just honestly never think of him that way. I always think of Hank Aaron when I think of the home run champ.
But you know what? You think about the humility that Hank demonstrated when Barry broke the record. And I know that there were those who wanted him to say something disparaging about Barry, and he was just never going to do it. He was never going to be that guy that was going to denigrate another black man, no matter what others may have thought. And I thought he handled that whole home run ascent by Barry with such great class, grace, and dignity, but that's not a surprise. Henry Aaron distributed that all of his life. That was who Henry Aaron was. He personified class. He really did. And for those to put that pressure on Henry Aaron to be that negative light, he was just never going to be that. And you couldn't help but admire the humility that he demonstrated, you know, during that home run chase. You know, no matter what others may have thought, he refused to go there.
Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, thank you so much for joining me today on this sad day of Hank Aaron's passing, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, the home run champ, or all-time home run champ, but really a day also to celebrate his life and achievements, of course. Thanks a lot for joining me. I appreciate it.
Max, man, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys for remembering my dear friend, the legendary Henry Aaron.
Meantime, I have to now tell, it's always a hard turn. It's weird on, you're doing a sports radio show and you're talking about Hank Aaron on the day he passed away. And all of a sudden I got to read you something, but I have to. That's how it goes. Conor McGregor returns to the Octagon tomorrow night in a rematch against Dustin Poirier at UFC 257, only on ESPN Plus. UFC 257 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV. Lakers still undefeated on the road. Oof. Didn't lose back-to-back. AD said they're not trying to lose back-to-back to beat the Bucks. Have they even hit their stride yet, though? Plus, Michael Thompson's, Clay's daddy, memories of Hank Aaron coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Now we have the great Michael Thompson on the Max Kellerman Show to share some thoughts on the late now at this point, sadly, great Hank Aaron, baseball icon, and in my view, still the all-time home run champ. Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir. You know, I'm always looking forward to talk to you, to educate you on all the sports factors, Max.
Michael, what are your thoughts today when you heard of Hank Aaron's passing?
I like how you called him the real home run leader. Listen, I'm a big Barry Bonds fan. Barry Bonds is a special player, but there's a lot of question marks with his 762. Of course, we all know the story about what Barry's associated with. Babe Ruth, I don't count anything that happened before 1947, before the integration of baseball as a legitimate sport, legitimate records, because no Latinos, Asians, or Blacks were allowed to play. So how could those records even be counted? Would they be counted today if that was the case in sports? So all those records before Jackie Robinson should have an asterisk.
Yeah, but Michael, you can count Babe Ruth's record. Hank Aaron broke it?
Sure, if you want to, that's fine. A lot of baseball historians would say it still counts, even though no Blacks, Latinos, and Asians were allowed to play. So I don't see how that's a legitimate sport when it's like that in any sport. So, but anyway, Hank Aaron, do you know that Hank Aaron was the last player to be promoted from the Negro League to the major leagues? Did you know that factoid? And here's the thing. Here's the biggest question I have about Hank Aaron and his career, Max Kellerman and listeners. After 755 home runs, 3,771 hits, 3,298 games played, and 2,297 total bases, somebody or some bodies said that he was not a Hall of Famer and this guy was not a unanimous Hall of Famer. How is Max, like my oldest son Michael just said, even though it's late, somebody needs to investigate that.
Yeah, Michael, you know, it's what's crazy is Hank Aaron is the all-time home run record leader. Now, you said there are question marks about Barry Bonds. I don't know question marks, they're exclamation points. This dude cheated. Yeah. Him and McGuire and Sosa. I don't count those guys. Barry Bonds is a great first ballot Hall of Famer before he ever cheated, so he should be in the Hall of Fame. But get out of here with that home run record. Here's the thing about Hank Aaron. All-time home run record, right? If you took away every single home run he ever hit, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. The man still would have had over 3,000 hits. He had over 3,755 hits anyway. So if you took away every single home run, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But Michael, he was also a multiple time batting champion, a multiple time gold glove winner, stole 30 bases in a season, stole over 240 bases for his career, rarely got caught, hit 362 in 74 playoff appearances, at bats or plate appearances. Slugged 710, all-time total bases leader. Could you imagine that guy broke the most significant record in the history of American team sports at a time where there was nothing bigger than baseball or more symbolic than the home run? And you're a baseball writer and you go, Hank Aaron, not by my definition of a Hall of Famer.
Exactly. And Willie Mays, the same thing, and Roberto Clemente, and on and on. The only unanimous Hall of Famer was Mariano Rivera, who definitely belonged there.
Damn right.
But here's the thing about it. You mentioned all those facts, all those numbers by Hank Aaron, but when you talk about the greatest player who's ever played the game, his name's never mentioned. How's that possible?
I think partly because, you know, it's like when Roger Maris broke the single-season record held by Ruth. He had 61. People wanted Mantle to do it because he was the heir apparent. I think partly, Michael, it's because Hank Aaron's career largely overlapped with Willie Mays. Mays came up in 51, Aaron 54. Right. They both played in the NL. Mays was a center fielder. He hit 50 home runs a couple times. He has that iconic catch in the World Series. And I think people wanted it to be Mays. And when it wound up being Hank Aaron, like aside from the obvious racism, right? But I think in baseball, kind of in the baseball world, people may have been let down that it wasn't Willie Mays, something like that.
Yeah, I think he might have been, because Willie played in the big market in New York City and then in San Francisco, where Hank played in Milwaukee and Atlanta. So maybe they ignored him down there in the South because he wasn't in the limelight as much as Willie was.
Yeah, and I think you're right, though. It's not easy to say anyone was better than Hank Aaron in terms of career value. In other words, if you were drafting every player that ever lived and you said, this is where like LeBron or Kareem come in, right, in the GOAT conversation. If you were starting a franchise and you say, I just want to be really good every year for as long as possible. If you draft Hank Aaron for 23 years, I mean, probably 20 of those 23 years, you could hit him third or fourth in any lineup in baseball, and he's going to play great defense on top of it and run the bases and be a good clubhouse guy, all those things. You have a case for Hank Aaron.
Oh, no question about it. And if you put, when I put my all-time outfield together in baseball, you know, we like to do these all-time teams. My all-time outfield in baseball is Mays in center, Aaron in right, and Roberto Clemente in left.
Roberto Clemente, first of all, played right field. That's number one. And number two, Clemente's not in the all-time out. I mean, I love Clemente. He's not in the all-time outfield.
3,000 hits, probably had the best arm in any outfield in history. He's the greatest Latino player ever, unless you want to, you know, throw in Albert Pujols in the argument. Come on, he belongs out there. And guys like Roberto Clemente could play any outfield position. Teach
Mickey Mantle Spanish and put him in left field in that case. Come on, they're better. I love Clemente. Yeah. Clemente's not on Hank Aaron or Willie Mays' level. Clemente was great, but he's not Hank Aaron or Willie Mays.
Man, he would have had more than 3,000 hits if he wouldn't have been killed too soon.
Barry Bonds in left field. Ricky Henderson in left field. Stan Musial in left field. Got some left field.
Right, sure. All those guys are good arguments. You're right.
Yeah. All right. Well, there it is. Do you have any recollection of – I'm 47, so I was born the year before the home run record fell. Do you have a recollection of where you were? Were you aware of Hank Aaron breaking the record, like, as it happened?
Oh, yeah, no question about it, man. I was in high school in Florida and, spent a lot of time down there watching the home run record, Hank Aaron doing the record chase. Oh, really, I was in college in 75. So, obviously, we didn't have the Max Kellerman Show covering it like we do now or social media or ESPN 24-hour coverage. But every day you would pick up the newspaper and to see if he hit one last night, to watch the countdown towards 7:15, the illegitimate record. But, we definitely were keeping track of Hank's progress as he got closer and closer to 7:15 or 7:14.
There'll never be another record. There never was since and never before that meant more than the all-time home run record in this country. And Hank Aaron, a black man, did it, and he wasn't supposed to do it even. And he did it at a time throughout most of the 50s and 60s when he was compiling the home runs. And then finally in 74, where there was so much anger toward him because of it, it was remarkable achievement. Michael, the best stat I've heard about this, and then Raj is telling me I have to let you go, is he had 12 miles more of total bases than the number two guy, Stan Musial. Stan Musial played for a million years and was one of the greatest of all time. Hank Aaron had more than 12 miles more of total bases than the number two guy. There actually is a good argument that he's the best who ever played. The great Michael Thompson.
And the thing about it, Hank's not some huge slugger. He's like he only weighed like
180 pounds.
He's like a little bit bigger than Mookie Betts, and he did all this.
180 pounds. I weighed 180 pounds 15 pounds ago, and before the pandemic, I was checking in around 180. Now I'm about 195. I can't hit any home runs. 755. The great Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to talk Lakers coming up. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance, you can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Okay, can't forget, it's Championship Sunday coming up. Who I got going to the Super Bowl? Who do you got?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
So as I'm trying to do this terrific radio show, entertaining, informative, Raj gets in my ear and says, hey, when you were interviewing Bob Kendrick, who's the president of the Negro Leagues Museum, you never reset him. You never reset. Like, you have to say on radio, hey, who you're talking to. I just thought it was Bob from Georgia. I absolutely did reset him. I heard Brendan get in my ear and say reset, and I said, Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Museum.
Let's bring in the guy who's keeping record here. James, I believe, was keeping track of all this. So on the intro, do we have an intro, James?
Being
he
set
didn't
up
say
now.
His name in his title, right?
Up.
Yeah. Here's Max introing.
Okay.
Bob Kendrick, Bob. President of the Negro Leagues, joins me now on the Goodyear Hotline. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Oh, that's pretty good, Max. That's pretty good.
I said Negro Leagues, not Negro Leagues Museum, actually, but go ahead. Like as though there's still the Negro Leagues going on.
That's all right.
I'm going to be the first white player in the Negro Leagues, Raj.
Yes, you are. So then, Max, says you reset three times. So can we go to the second reset? When did the second reset take place?
The first one was the intro. Here's the first reset, and it was a minute and 22 seconds later.
Look at that. Yeah, by the way, I want everyone to hear what Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum right now, is saying, cross-handed.
Okay. All right. That's, all right. Little early.
Way
little
too
early.
Early.
Well, let me just tell you. Let me just tell you. I was responding to Brendan, our engineer, in my ear saying reset.
Never told you to do it.
Someone told me to reset.
Okay. So that's fine. Max said he did it three times. So, James, how long did it take for that third reset to happen?
All right. So this was kind of one, and it happened 2.5 minutes after the second one.
Bob, I want to ask you about that, actually.
So we called him Bob. So it was like half.
So that could be Bob from Arizona.
It doesn't count as a reset. No, it does not count as a reset. I'm fair.
Okay. So since his proper reset, which is the second one, how long did it take to get to the third reset?
11 minutes and 40 seconds.
Oh, my God.
From Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, thank you so much for joining me today.
Max, I could drive from here to Bristol in 11 minutes.
Let me explain something.
And it wasn't a reset. It was a goodbye.
That was a goodbye. That wasn't even a reset.
While you are all bogged down in resetting, which applies to many, I was having a fascinating conversation full of information and entertainment. I don't worry about resetting. I worry about the content.
If I jumped in 10 minutes ago, it sounds like you're talking to Bob.
Let me tell you something.
Idaho.
If you jumped in at any point, you'd think, this is interesting. I want to hear more of this.
All right, give me your Super Bowl pick real quick.
Let me just tell you what that counts as. It counts as one reset. That's one reset. I said it. I said his name three times, but I reset once. That's true. I said hello, and then I reset once, and I said goodbye. But I said his name three times.
You always draft Kings money. Give me your Super Bowl pick.
The Kansas City Chiefs are going to beat the Buffalo Bills because Mahomes will be playing. He passed concussion protocol earlier today, about an hour ago. And they will be playing the Green Bay Packers. As much trouble as the Tampa Bay defense gave the Packers the first time they played, and they whooped up on them good at Tampa. I think that part of that was because Devontae Adams was his first game back after injury and Rodgers was forcing the issue. Antonio Brown won't be available for Tampa. They'll be at Green Bay. I think it all adds up to Aaron Rodgers winning that game. It's Packers and Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.